Chapter 15. During lunch, when experience had shown that traffic picked up somewhat at Mailbox America, an agent nonchalantly entered the place behind two other customers, and for the second time that day placed a key in box 455. Lying on top of three pieces of junk mail, one from a pizza carryout, one from a car wash, one from the U.S. Postal Service, he noticed something new. It was an envelope, light orange in color, 5x8. With a pair of tweezers he kept on his keyring, he clamped the end of the envelope, slid it quickly from the box, and dropped it in a small leather briefcase. The junk mail was left undisturbed. At Langley, it was carefully opened by experts. Two handwritten pages were removed and copied. An hour later, DeVille entered Teddy's bunker holding a file. DeVille was in charge of what was commonly referred to, deep inside Langley, as the Lake Mess. He gave copies of the letter to Teddy and York, then scanned it to a large screen where Teddy and York at first just stared at it. The printing was bold, in block form, easily readable, as if the author had labored over each word. It read, "Dear Al, where have you been? Did you get my last letter? I wrote 3 weeks ago, and I haven't heard a word. I guess you're busy, but please don't forget about me. I get very lonely here, and your letters have always inspired me to keep going. They give me strength and hope, because I know somebody out there cares. Please don't give up on me, Al. My counselor says that I might be released in 2 months. There's a halfway house in Baltimore, actually a few miles from where I grew up, and the people here are trying to get me a spot there. It would be for 90 days, enough time for me to find a job, some friends, etc. You know, get used to society again. It's a lockdown place at night, but I'd be free during the day. There aren't many good memories, Al. Every person who ever loved me is now dead, and my uncle, the guy who's paying for this rehab, is very rich, but very cruel. I need friends so desperately, Al. By the way, I've lost another 5 pounds, and my waist is now at 32. The photo I sent you is getting outdated. I've never liked the way my face looks in it, too much flesh on the cheeks. I'm much leaner now and tanned. They let us tan for up to 2 hours a day here, weather permitting. It's Florida, but some days are too cool. I'll send you another photo, maybe one from the chest up. I'm lifting weights like crazy. I think you'll like the next photo. You said you would send me one of you. I'm still waiting. Please don't forget me, Al. I need one of your letters. Love, Ricky." Since York had the responsibility of investigating every aspect of Lake's life, he felt compelled to try and speak first, but he could think of nothing to say. They read the letter in silence again, and again. Finally, DeVille broke the ice by saying, "Here's the envelope." He flashed it on the wall. It was addressed to Mr. Al Conyers at Mailbox America. The return address was Ricky, Aladdin North, P.O. Box 44683, Neptune Beach, Florida, 32233. "It's a front," DeVille said. "There's no such place as Aladdin North. There's a telephone number, and you get an answering service. We called 10 times with questions, but the operators know nothing. We've called every rehab and treatment clinic in North Florida, and no one's heard of this place." Teddy was silent, still staring at the wall.
"Where's Neptune Beach?" York grunted.
"Jacksonville."
DeVille was excused, but told to stand by. Teddy began making notes on a green legal pad.
"There are other letters, and at least one photo," he said, as if the problem were just part of the routine. Panic was a state unknown to Teddy Maynard. "We have to find them," he said.
"We've done 2 thorough searches of his home," York said.
"Then do a third. I doubt if he would keep such stuff at his office."
"How soon?"
"Do it now. Lake is in California looking for votes. We have no time on this, York. There may be other secret boxes, other men writing letters and bragging about their tans and waistlines.
Do you confront him?
Not yet.
Since they had no sample of Mr. Conyers' handwriting, DeVille made a suggestion that Teddy eventually liked. They would use the ruse of a new laptop, one with a built-in printer. The first draft was composed by DeVille and York, and after an hour or so, the fourth draft read as follows.